right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck in the flesh and John, who is in an airport pet section. What is John? Where are you?
I traveled with a friend's pet. I was pet delivering. So now I'm fine. I'm in LAX. The best / worst airport?
Did you, traveling with a pet, did you sneak a cobra in your suitcase?
If only.
In his pants.
Well,
hey now.
Oh, we needed a hey now. I forgot.
I don't really think of cobras and planes the same way anymore.
Oh, after that Samuel L. Jackson.
I remember seeing snakes on a plane on opening night.
Is that when Samuel L. Jackson jumped the snake?
Yes, he did jump the snake. I remember being disappointed. Like,
yeah.
We knew it was tongue-in-cheek. We knew it was self-aware. It didn't go far enough or something. It wasn't funny enough. They introduced a black belt karate guy in, like, the first 5 minutes, and he did not use karate later to fight snakes.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, what are they even doing here?
Yeah.
I was pretty excited. I was a letdown.
That's no good.
Yeah, how do you not use, like, snake-style kung fu against snakes?
Exactly. So, snakes on a plane, despite it all, I was disappointed. Speaking of disappointment, you guys had breakfast?
Yeah, I went to Burger King.
You love Burger King.
It's so close to my
house.
Did
you use an app or did you use the self
I did
kiosk?
Use, no,
self-pay.
That's at Hardee's.
Oh.
Yeah, they give you 10% off to punch in your own order into an iPad pretty much at Hardee's. But today, I went to Burger King. Had me the croissant witch. That's what I go with. I had the two for buy one, get one free.
Croissant witch.
Croissant witch with the sausage this time. Went with the sausage. It's disgusting. I read recently that I have a biology in my gut that requires this sort of food now. Yeah, if our stomach and intestines have these microbes that feed off of good food, healthy food.
Were you on a probiotics website?
It was something I saw on Facebook. It was a mess. It was like 3 a.m. I was really messed up. The bars were closed.
Is this like that time you went to a website that told you you couldn't get AIDS anymore?
Yeah. I thought about it. If I could just take a pill.
You guys, we're not going to say it on air. Chuck's plan for avoiding AIDS, horrifying.
Yeah.
And absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm. It involves a Haitian voodoo witch doctor.
We were like, Chuck, that is not going to keep you from getting an STD.
No.
Pill of the serpent.
So, but yeah, what were we talking about?
Something about the flora and fauna of your
Oh, yeah.
Guts.
So what I've realized is that by this point in my life, there's no way I can avoid eating garbage food because my body craves it. It's what I wake up thinking about and going to bed. And I'm sure like a whole 30 will wash all that crap out of my system, but I'm not doing that.
Right.
Life's too short. Eat all the crap.
I mean.
You should. We might die tomorrow. You don't know.
It's possible.
We just put the Air Force nuclear bomber fleet on 24-hour alert. It hasn't happened since the Cold War.
Oh, my goodness.
We're all going to die. But welcome to our podcast. Enjoy this diversion.
That's a great diversion. My breakfast diversion was once again eating my son's leftover food, which he will not eat. We made a very clear verbal agreement, me and my two-year-old. If we make these Lunchable pizzas, you're going to eat at least one of these Lunchable pizzas. And he was like, yes. I was like, so if you don't eat this pizza, you're going to get in bed and go to bed. Yes. So what happens if you don't eat this pizza? My go to bed. Okay. So we're going to make these pizzas. You're going to eat these pizzas? Yes. Tell me what we're going to do with these pizzas. Am I going to eat these pizzas? Like, I went through it. It was a very explicitly spelled out thing. So we make the pizzas. He does a real good job putting the tomato sauce on there, the cheese on there, puts them in the microwaves. And he's like, mine don't like it. Mine don't eat.
Oh, man.
I got kind of angry.
Your son speaks like a Stephen King toddler.
I think your kid is a genie.
Well, his, yeah. Well, he's not doing a mino likey. Or,
no, it seems like no matter, no matter what you said to him, he was going to find a way to make you not like this deal. That's
right,
what it was.
Right. He really was, he was working around it. So I got kind of angry, and then I'm like, I'm angry at my 2-year-old for not eating this pizza thing. But I really felt like we spelled it out clearly, and he understood. Mm-hmm. So
what's a Lunchable pizza?
You know, like Lunchables? Like those little crackers and bits of ham. A Lunchables pizza is just
that,
but it's that, but like it, a little packet of tomato sauce and cheese. Mm-hmm. And you just put them on there. And
maybe a couple pepperones.
No, no, no. This is the veggie version.
Oh, the veggie version.
Yeah. No nitrates yet.
Do you put it in the oven or do you just eat it?
No, no. You just
pop
it in the microwave if you must.
20 seconds.
Yeah, 20 seconds to heat up the cheese. So I had those left over because I mean, I feel like I need to eat it.
No, well, it'd be a waste.
And I was angry. I had to teach him a lesson that I will eat it if you don't.
You showed him,
yeah,
Keith.
I know. I'm the boss of him.
You ate that Lunchable.
Did you make him sit in his high chair and watch you?
No, no. I mean, I put him in bed, and then he was so sad that he was in his bed last night. I'm like, eh.
No.
I don't.
You learn.
He's so sad.
No, they need to eat. Kids need to eat. That's just this whole world. My son, he's so picky.
Yeah.
If he doesn't eat, he doesn't eat.
Right.
That's it. I'm not giving you some other crap.
We did go through. He didn't eat, but he got out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't leave him. I mean, this was a false threat on my half.
Oh,
I can't carry this out.
He already found the weakness.
Yeah.
Chinks in your armor. He's going to remember that. And he's like, this is
like a T-Rex testing the fence.
Yeah.
What'd you have for breakfast, John?
Well, I had a red-eye flight, and I didn't know that the airport I was coming out of didn't have the all-night food court.
Ew.
That's tough.
Which B&A, two thumbs down. Can I Yelp review an airport? Is that a thing?
100% yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to shut this place down, man. With thumbs downs.
We need to get our...
So I ended up having like the gross like Hudson Valley snack pack. What is that place called?
Hudson News, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, terrible.
Well, nothing. You just get a Hudson News, you get some trail mix? Like a...
Oh, yeah.
This juice?
This is a disgusting airport meal.
Yeah, it's really
it's like
$8? Bad. Like a big downer. But as soon as you arrive in LAX, you do the all cornucopia foods. Had delicious, delicious Chinese food.
Mm-hmm. If I'm at the airport, I'm eating 14,000 to 20,000 calories because that's my.
Because you're just bored. You're super bored.
Well, and it's the whole going back to our pending annihilation via nuclear weapons. You never know if you're going on an airplane, if you'll leave that airplane in one piece. Stuff that Cinnabon in your face, bruh. Get crazy with it.
Chuck,
you're so morbid with all your...
I'm like Steve Kerr, man. I go to the wine bar. I get those cheese plates.
Ooh, an aristocrat, huh?
I don't take the time to show everyone the new form triangle offense we're going to run in Golden State. I just slam it right in my face.
Well, when you travel, Chuck, when you're scared of nuclear war, I'm just more scared of what exactly that liquor drink I ordered is going to cost.
Mm.
Like, wow, $17.42? Damn. $17.42 for a Jack Daniels?
For a single Jack on the rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, those were our breakfast.
You gotta know what you're getting into with the airport. You're just like, I'm gonna spend $100 right now. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, that's also my Disney World plan. You can't think about money.
Yeah.
Just buy whatever you want.
Just do it.
Worry about it later. All right. Those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It is often, frequently, the first time we talk about basketball. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
In lieu of actually listing the myriad teams I need to, and players I need to apologize, I'm just going to channel all of my energies into fighting the NRA for the rest of my life. So that's going to be my move here. I'm going to apologize. Oh, maybe I'll give like a little kind of a crappy apology, maybe through my... I'll probably like issue something through my PR firm. But at the end, I'm just going to make sure everyone knows I'm going to take down the NRA guys. So no apology necessary, right?
This is a really bizarrely political stance. I consider you to be almost apolitical, John.
Yeah. John gets so mad that I listen to NPR. And
he's really angry.
And
about
he's
that.
Not a conservative.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
No.
John gets really angry about the liberal propaganda machine that is NPR.
Right. And then
he's like, I might lean liberal, but I don't like the fact that they're a PR propaganda arm of this.
Right.
That bothers me. Those are John Burr's beliefs spelled out for all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want my beliefs. Stick to Chuck's beliefs. I know. Who Chuck, are you apologizing to, Chuck?
What do you got
today?
Right?
I said it earlier. It's the clip show. I'm three games in, worrying about my underlock.
You're saying them beating the Suns and Lakers
has you
concerned, hey man, about your predictions?
No, it's. I think the team's kind of got a little bit of that like jerky swagger that works in the modern NBA. Pat Beverly looks ravenous, and he's got a chance to run a team on his own for the first time, and he feels like he can do it. I was worried about the leadership vacuum with Chris Paul leaving and Blake kind of filling that hole, but I think Pat Beverly's doing that dirty work.
I know Clippers.
You guys ready for my $1 million t-shirt idea?
Sure.
Next Fast Break Breakfast t-shirt, Beavis and Butthead, Pat Beverly, Blake Griffin.
That's pretty good. Great. That will once again.
Who doesn't want a Beavis and Butthead shirt?
Anyone under 32.
Mm-hmm. Well, or over 18. Because there's like 16-year-olds who
really
love it.
Really narrow window. Right. The Urban Outfitters demographic.
The most cherished demographic of all? Darn. Yeah.
The kids who read Tumblr fashion blogs.
You say Pat Beverly going to run a team on his own. Now definitely on his own with Milos Teodosic.
Mm-hmm. Out so sad.
With the torn plantar fascia, which is a injury which derailed my sports career as well.
My ultimate frisbee career,
very much hampered by the torn plantar fascia.
Part of this, though, for me, the reason why I went under is because I completely despise Blake Griffin and his bro-like ways and ethos. And I think what I'm doing now by apologizing is a Czech specialty, which is the double reverse jinx.
Oh, that's good.
So this is what I'm loving to do, and now it's a double triple reverse. Talking about, it's so meta. It's like the inception of jinxes.
So you're gonna try to out Weinstein me here?
Mm.
All right, very well. Fakey, no fakey.
I think Clippers fans are also energized, even though they have beaten two of the worst teams. I think they look at the team right now and they think actually getting rid of Chris Paul has made Blake Griffin a better player and improved the energy, if you will, of the team. So maybe.
Yeah.
I'm still okay with my under. I'm not buying in. Gallo hasn't done much. Their guard rotation. Austin Rivers, one of the heroes of the season so far as someone who is terrible at shooting. Mm-hmm. I think he's 3 for 18.
But he's good at defense, and the Clippers look really good at defense.
It's true. Playing two of the worst teams, we'll do that.
Playing two of the worst teams of all time. Gallo has done something, though.
What's that?
He's shown me enough to make me spend $30 on him in our iShop Fantasy Basketball League.
We'll have to revisit the iShop Fantasy Basketball League.
No clue what's going on.
It is the greatest thing I've ever done.
Negative Fantasy Basketball
League. It is the most exciting fantasy basketball I've ever played.
And bewildering.
It's completely befuddling. My apology, I actually had a few. It's easy to find things that we think we're wrong about, be it the Orlando Magic winning a couple of games. But I think I'm going to apologize to a guy I'm happy who's back, Jared Bayless, who I took very high in our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Negative Fantasy League for pride and glory. And because in my mind, he's an inefficient chucker so far on the year. Yes, the Sixers aren't winning, but man's
he's
knocking
going
down
right every time, Jared.
Yeah, that's true. As soon as this defense is figure out that he only goes one direction, mm-hmm. but he's hitting all his shots. He's playing very efficient basketball. Happy to have him back. You know, a guy who misses almost a whole year. Wasn't sure he'd be back, but after a few games, he's looking good, looking spry, hitting his shots. So apologies, Jared Bayless. I doubted you. Speaking of our iShop negative fantasy basketball league over at fantrax.com, which is a highly customizable fantasy website, which we are learning how to use. We're doing that. We're playing that with our Patreon supporters. Love those guys who have spent money to support our show on a monthly basis.
Love y'all.
I'm telling you, the Stackhouse of Pancakes League, I was up by 15 on our buddy Sam. And in iShop, you can go negative, which is bad. So you get points for going positive. I was winning. I thought about taking a knee, which is when you pull your guys out. Because, mm-hmm. again, with the volatility of it all, you don't know if you're going to win or lose. I had Kinsane Clown Posse still to go. And I'm like, I'm up by 16. I'm just going to play them for fun. I'm going to roll the dice on a free roll. Kinsane was incredible on Sunday night. Hit all of his shots. He was at a negative 20, so I blew my whole lead. I was like, well, I deserve this for trying to, you know, kind of taunt Sam. But he did. Kinsane missed his final shot. I won by 1/15 of a point. Greatest rush of my life, John.
That is a last second game loser
it
winner.
It was really, I'm watching the last minute of the game as if I'd slapped a couple hundo down on the game saying, just miss one shot. Commit a foul, miss a shot. Commit a foul, miss a shot. And he,
he
missed a pull up, like a 15 footer, won it by 1500s. So if you.
This is a league, folks, where Keith awarded Bobby Portis. I believe it was 20 points for punching his teammate in the face.
I still need
That's
to actually,
a good kind
yeah,
of
Yeah, yeah. I need to... there is some leeway with the authoritarian power I wield as commissioner in this league.
The
to,
power has gone
yeah, very,
to his
very
head.
Goodellian. He's
yeah,
very
where
Goodellian,
I'm like,
folks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. You broke a face of your teammate in an off-the-court kerfuffle? Yeah, you get 20 points.
I don't know if that's everything we claim it is to be.
What,
with
what?
That
How
fight.
Much?
I think there might be some conspiracy behind it.
Oh, what is this?
Well, I mean, everybody says that, you know, Mirotić came after Bobby Portis, and Bobby was just defending himself, but
There was rumors that also had been building for years.
It might have been coming on, but I think what happened is Bobby misheard Mirotić talking about what country he was from.
What country Mirotić is from?
Yeah.
Montenegro.
Oh.
He
he's like, oh no,
it.
I said no. He's,
no, he said Montenegro.
Bobby, it was Montenegro.
Right,
Montenegro.
That's
Bobby.
Where I'm from.
Oh, that, you know what? Chuck, I think he got to the bottom of that.
Right.
I think that does. You know what? I think we can clear the air now.
That's officially what happened.
I've heard.
Hold
I've heard.
On. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, I heard that Bobby Portis has tried to get in touch with Mirotić, and Mirotić has not received those calls. But
I don't think Bobby Portis watched a lot of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego growing
that
up.
That does
either.
Clear it up. I actually feel better. I was feeling really bad about the Bulls.
Yeah, but don't worry, Bobby. It's going to be a while before Nikola tests you again. Here we go. I wrote that one. That was a good one I wrote down.
That's great. Well, so you'll get more jokes like that offline. If you want to join our Patreon-only Slack chat, and you can get involved with our fantasy stuff, we're doing the Pickle Pick'em Challenge, which resets every month. So if you go ahead and join now, you can probably have a chance at winning the November prize. October might be out of reach, I'll be honest. But if you want to support our show, get involved.
I don't know, Keith. I think it's still very well within reach.
Yeah. We are terrible.
Over 500.
Nobody's doing
no
well.
One can pick against the spread.
No.
So if you want to get involved with us that way and get involved with all these games that have prizes and support our show, you can do all of that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right. Steak and eggs. Best thing. Oh my goodness, there's so many good things. The season has started. It's like drinking from the fire hose. Mm. Is it always this good?
Always.
But I don't remember ever being this happy about basketball, even though I love basketball.
It's been bittersweet.
It's been so good and everything's so unexpected that I literally, my list of people to apologize for was so long that I had to go full Weinstein. So yeah, I'd say it's been pretty fun.
It's been pretty fun. So anyway, our steak and eggs best things. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond have not missed a free throw yet this year.
What?
Say what?
They are 10 for 10. Small sample size.
I was going to guess they were 0 for 0. I didn't even know this. They're really
10 for 10 from the free throw line. DeAndre's hit four. DeAndre's hit four, and Andre Drummond's hit six. Stan Van Gundy is literally saying, it's fixed. It's over. He's got it. It's in the bag. We're going to leave him on the court all game now. No more hack of Drummond. So it's incredible. Well, just to think that these two guys.
He's talking out of both sides of his mouth then, because he hasn't been playing Drummond as much as he usually does.
Well, this is the new move.
He wants to keep that streak going. How many times has Drummond hit six in a row in his career before this?
That's a stat we
Let's
should
get
hunt.
ESPN stats and info on that, if you can. It might be also, Chuck, I think this might be stealing from you. Is that a Taco Bell unsustainable business model?
Taco Bell unsustainable business model.
I think that might
model.
Be a Taco Bell unsustainable business model.
Taco Bell breakfast unsustainable business model. Yeah, it's for sure those guys, because DeAndre Jordan is career 43% from the free throw line, and Andre is career 38% percent from the free throw line.
Speaking of free throws, Andre Roberson, excuse me. Andre Roberson, shout out OKC Dream Team Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Andre, doing it again.
Andre Roberson with the double air ball, consecutive air ball free throws. How does one do that? Chuck, you were bad at basketball your whole life. Mm-hmm. Have you ever airballed consecutive free throws?
I was so good at free throws. I actually won a Knights of Columbus free throw shooting competition in the sixth grade.
Were you shooting underhanded? Answer the question.
I wasn't. I didn't do it like that. I had a good stroke. I had a good rhythm, two bounce, spin, knee bend, shot. It was beautiful.
Mm. How about that routine?
But you know what I think might have happened? We might have had a Space Jam situation where DeAndre and Andre sucked Markelle Fultz's ability to shoot. And it's just theirs now.
That could be true.
That poor kid.
You know, energy is all awful around us, and there's only so much. It's a push and a pull, man.
It is, man.
Markelle Fultz's free throw
Terrence
shot
McKenna, man.
Form looks like when I tried to get my son to throw a football with his left hand yesterday. Oof. Like, oh, so yeah, you are. You're right-handed.
There's no question. Man, that's a lot. Well, it's incredible to watch.
I was just thinking, two air balls on a free throws in a row. I don't think I've ever done that in a gym, not to mention a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever airballed two free throws in a row since I was 9.
Didn't he do this in the playoffs too?
I know he had. Did he have back to back airballs again? I know he had the big with a bench. The Rockets bench was going crazy.
Yeah, it was so bad it ruined him for the playoffs. They were hack of Robertsoning.
How is that possible? How do you miss the rim? I don't get it.
I mean, it's funny because the Thunder made these additions and we're all so excited about it. But until they kind of figure out who to play in Roberson's stead, they're going to have some problems because Pat Patterson's not ready yet. Mm-hmm. And
Pat Patterson is, I don't know what the proper analogy is.
Got to be
not
hurt, right?
He's not very spry out there. He does not look well.
He looks horrendous. They actually still have something to fix in OKC, which, I mean, I don't know how you can land the two biggest free agents of the offseason land the two biggest trades of the offseason and somehow still have a gaping hole, but they kind of do.
Yep. My best thing is related to Jared Bayless being back after missing most of the year with injury is a couple other guys who I was not sure I was going to see again. I'm talking about you, friend of the show, Quincy Pondexter.
Oh, Coupon.
I saw Coupon play basketball. But even more than that, a guy who I don't think most NBA bloggers even thought would contribute again, Alec Burks for the Jazz, mm-hmm. has looked good. And with Dante Exum going down, with Rodney Hood hurting his calf, he's stepped up. He's a basketball player again. That's great news, man. Like, I really thought this guy was just like a total write-off, like his career's over. And seeing him bounce back, seeing him contribute something off the bench, I was really happy for him. And those Jazz look good.
Was this just like his fourth or fifth year?
Yeah, he's been around. I mean, because he signed an extension 2 years ago. But again, like, it was one when I interviewed the Jazz guy over the summer, it's just like,
you didn't mention him.
Is he going to contribute at all? It's like, we don't even think about him. Yeah. We don't even think about him.
Keith has officially gone full small sample size theater on us here.
Well,
Chuck.
That's us. I am too.
That's all we're doing.
My best of the week is 10 free throws.
Man, I loved the Jazz in the offseason, and through three games, they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're grounding people into paste.
I'm going to keep it going because I'm going to talk about guys who very well could disappear into the ether or at the very least hit that rookie wall. I'm just so glad after years where we've had Brogdon Rookie of the Years, MC Dub Rookie of the Years, there's tons of fun rookies this year.
Yeah.
More than I can name off the top of my head, really. I mean, it's completely insane.
What's
like De'Aaron Fox, Dennis Smith, Jesus.
De'Aaron
Ben Simmons
Fox.
Looks awesome. Lonzo looks awesome.
Lonzo
we have different
looks
kinds
crazy.
Of rookies.
I was going to say De'Aaron Fox is incredible.
Yeah.
John Collins.
Just a couple of games. But this is, again, fun. I mean, our listeners know I don't watch college. Chuck doesn't watch college. So, like, we get a little glimpse of these guys at Summer League, but just seeing him play a few NBA games, De'Aaron Fox looks awesome. I mean, he gets none of the buzz that Lonzo Ball gets, obviously, but him on the Kings, he's so fast. His first step is so quick.
It's crazy to watch.
He's just blown by everybody. Another guy, John, who I'd never seen play basketball before for the Nets, Jarrett Allen. Looks like a stud center, like owning the paint, blocking shots, big guy in there. Like, again, all these rookies here, like, this guy's good. Like, Ben Simmons doesn't really count, but he's playing 35 minutes a game and looking awesome. Like, again, I've said
Simmons
awesome like
Lonzo,
five times, but
Ben Simmons and Lonzo have that stuff that, like, you don't see rookies usually have, which is like the court vision and the passing skills.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not relying on just their burst and like going all out, you know, which rookies can do.
It feels like Fox is kind of that explosive Derrick Rose-esque kind of athlete. And
right.
And Lonzo's and Simmons do have that. It seems like the game's a little slower for them, although Lonzo got his lunch ate by Pat Beverly, which is, I think, a great first game for him because they're going to play him four times.
I mean, very nearly could have been my best of the week was Pat Beverly just introducing him to the league in the most ferocious way possible.
But I think that's a great way for, you know, to watch Ball's progression over the course of the season. If by the fourth game he doesn't look like a six-year-old on the basketball court, then you can say, okay, he can play. And maybe you can have some hope for the Lakers.
Well, I mean, when you also, even though you're playing the Suns, which is a caveat you have to say, but when you bounce back with a 29-9 and 11 in your second game ever.
But he did take 27 shots. Good.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Like, it's your second game ever.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter who
you're playing.
There's some
really funny guys in the field goal attempts column this year. Guys you weren't ready for.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we like around here.
Guess who
has the most field goal attempts in the league?
Who?
Keith, you got this.
Do I? Is it Vucevic?
It's close.
I don't know.
It's Dennis Schroeder. Jokic.
Oh, Dennis Schroeder. Yeah, yeah. He was like 14 for 28 his first game. He destroyed someone in iShop. We're going to stop mentioning the iShop Fantasy League. It's the best league
it's
ever.
All we talk about.
He's like 20 for 60 already. It's
yeah. I would say I think he's taking 20 shots in every game. Vucevic has been a flamethrower, though. I know he's
good
averaging
God.
30 something points per game. All right.
Magic and Henneral flamethrowers.
Opposite of
Jason Jonathan Isaac, another badass rookie.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Jackson in Sacramento looks good. And
oh,
stay tuned.
Justin
preview.
Jackson. Yeah.
What's that?
Justin Jackson. Josh Jackson is on the unfortunate Suns Island.
Suns, I'm sorry. That's, yeah. I'm trying to talk about Josh Jackson. Sorry.
Oh, Josh Jackson. Yeah.
He's throwing, Josh Jackson's another guy showing high basketball IQ. Maybe not the best stats yet, but you can watch him play, and he already knows what to do. And then, of course, preview for the Grizzlies epilogue, Dylan Brooks.
Oh, yeah, Dylan Brooks. First team all-rookie.
With
loving
the greatest gay porn actor name ever.
Oh, beautiful.
But we didn't even mention the Celtics rookie.
Tatum looks great too. It's such a deep class.
It's a great year.
We were trying not to mention the Celtics, even just too sad.
Yeah.
Just too upsetting.
Yeah,
all right. Anyway, so that's a natural transition. The opposite of our steak and eggs is cream of wheat. What's the cream of wheat worst thing? What's the worst thing you saw?
I'll keep it on the Phoenix Suns train with emo Eric Bledsoe. Dude's out here tweeting lyrics to Rise Against songs, and it worked. Like he's gonna get traded. He just tweeted out, "I don't want to be
here." That was the best.
What a sad move.
We're recording this on Monday afternoon, which, if you haven't learned, is going to be our time probably for most of this year. We're moving the real show of the week up early in the week, but because of that, so we're recording this on Monday afternoon. So there will be more games later Monday night, obviously, before you hear this. But also, Eric Bledsoe could very well be traded by the time you hear this podcast, because things are moving so quickly. On Saturday was the hilarious, just the Suns are extreme garbage again. They already
need a point guard again.
They already rolled out the Alex Lynn, Tyson Chandler lineup like 5 minutes into the second half of their third game. It's like you're giving up already. Like you've already run out of ideas. And then Eric Bledsoe tweets, "I don't want to be here." I think that was I just read it phonetically. I'm not doing an Eric Bledsoe voice. But
hey, can you phonetically read Memo O'Cours Adios Instagram then? Because it is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it meant. There was a bunch of F's, like just capital S's? F's and S's.
MF's, S's, family first though.
But anyways, so Bledsoe tweets, "I don't want to be
just
here."
So sad. I just feel like he was putting on like black eyeliner while he was tweeting it.
Such a bad.
I feel like that dude is justifiably pissed. And
he
sad.
Should be. That franchise is a nightmare.
They didn't let him play last year.
The coolest part of their whole season so far is five guys running in sync together.
Which, truthfully, was
I've watched
incredible.
It a thousand times.
I don't know how that happened.
For those that don't know, Chuck explained this miracle.
It's just they were playing Portland and there was a steal.
Just a steal. They all turn in just perfect synchronicity.
And their left foot all hit at the same time.
It looks like a video game.
It was.
They are heretofore to be known as the Stepford Sons.
That's pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah, so Bledsoe tweets his thing. A few hours later, Earl Watson is fired. And then he tweets, on Monday, he tweets good morning.
Yeah.
Just randomly. And they tell him to go home. He shows up to practice and they say, just go home.
Not playing.
But I mean, this
Sacramento.
Is a guy who wanted to play last year, was having a great season. And they're like, we're trying to be bad.
Last
quit.
14 games for no reason.
I know people are saying we shouldn't be criticizing the Suns now for firing Earl Watson. I think we can, because what did you expect? All summer, right. We were like, this is a clown organization. They don't know what they're doing. How can you build something good with just the same people? We assume they're not going to fire Earl Watson in the offseason because they're cheap. Mm-hmm. We assume Robert Sarver doesn't want to pay two coaches, but now they've forced the hand by being so incredibly bad. I feel bad for Suns fans. Like, there's nothing to watch for this year.
It was over a year since a coach had been fired.
Actually, there is something to watch for. If you're in the iShop at Negative Fantasy League,
you better
get
buy.
You Suns.
Tyler
get
you Ulis.
Buy Suns hard. Bye.
My worst thing, I kind of think maybe no Willie Hernan Gomez playing. I kind of thought Willie Hernan Gomez was going to be the starting center for the New York Knickerbockers and another just miserable franchise. He's not even in the rotation. Killing me.
I don't know what's going on.
Like, why?
I don't know what's going on there.
I know Kylo Quinn's fun and all, but.
Great beard.
Yeah. I always confuse him with Terry O'Quinn. In my brain, but
I mean, I guess is it just because Willie can't shoot the three at all?
But he,
and
I thought
Horney wants him out there.
Kind of can't. I mean, I don't know, man.
I don't know what's going on.
It seems like
looks amazing, but that's it. Frankie Nicotine's down.
Like it seems like Kaner would be more off the bench, but he's starting, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down. I'm down on the Knicks.
Yeah, they suck.
Down on the Suns.
It suck too.
You know who's good? The Magic. I might have been wrong.
That's so weird.
Hezonja shooting. He's 4 out of 5 on threes.
Oh.
80%.
Yeah. Small sample size.
God, I love small sample
Frank sizes. Vogel pulling a Kaiser Soze on us, man.
Yeah.
That limp has gone away. They're winning like without playing Aaron Gordon. It's terrifying. But where do you guys think Bledsoe's going to go? I mean, I'm thinking Cavs could use a guy. Who's going to get him for like pennies on the dollar again? Is this the Thunder's next move?
I don't know. I mean, like, again, I'm nervous it's going to happen in the 12 hours between us recording this and us releasing this. I feel like the Jazz could look at him.
Back.
The Nuggets, everyone is talking about the Nuggets. I feel like the Hornets should try to put something together to get him. I don't know. I mean, the Bucks, if the Bucks want to give them Jabari Parker from the Suns, I'd take a flyer on Jabari Parker. Why not?
The Cavs could trade Wade and J.R. Smith.
The Grizzlies could trade Chandler Parsons. Although he's our ninth man now, I'm kind of okay with him.
Are you?
Thank you, Chuck, for bringing up Dwayne Wade, because that is indeed my worst of the week.
Ooh.
Dwayne already done demoted himself, Wade.
Yes, there wasn't a meeting where LeBron told Wade that, hey, you're going to ask to be benched. Could you do that?
Yeah,
that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all.
This might also be Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
Because he went to Ty Lue and said, hey, coach, I'm Dwayne Wade, who wears track suits to ball games, looking like a tool. I want to stop playing basketball more. I want to be relegated to the bench. Wrong. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I think they said, we're going to do this, and we'll just pretend it's your idea.
Cool, for the team.
And we're cool.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Wade's like, no, but I want to come. And LeBron's like, no.
No.
Your idea, take it.
Take it, or we're...
You go on social media and say, I want to do this. Winning.
Or we're going to cut off your supply of
that
Valtrex.
Is my LeBron voice. I don't know if it's accurate or not. I don't want to be too broad with my impersonations.
There's another dead on. Amazing. It's not quite as good as the Stepford Sons, but there's another Instagram video floating around of Ty Lue's face when he realizes, oh God, Dwayne's not going to play any defense at all.
Oh no.
Did you guys see, and again, Stepford Sons, this looks like a man possessed by an alien. Do you guys remember the picture of Eric Bledsoe that came out at the Nike jersey reveal? There's like this huge crowd of all the NBA players who are representing the teams with their new jerseys. And if you just cut out Eric Bledsoe's face, it is the face of someone who is either in a get out scenario or something where he's just like, I don't want to be here. I don't have anyone I can talk to. Would someone please rescue me? And now all makes sense. And I want to be freed. All right. Well, those are our cream of wheat's worst of week. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered.
How long have you waited for
Smothered,
this?
Covered thoughts. If you're a new listener and none of that makes sense, I got nothing for you.
You
got
to go back.
However, I practiced saying it and said it correctly first try.
It was usually he stumbles over it once or twice.
So what
we end up referencing like the tailbone or something like that.
Or
somehow.
Napoleon Dynamite. My scattered is the, I'm loving my new Houston Rockets nicknames. Right.
What do we got?
We got Eric Gordon. You're going to trust the Gordon Swisherman. It's my favorite one. And then
that's deep. We gotta get. I feel like I've seen a photoshopped image of him in that rain slicker.
I don't care.
Does that exist?
If it does,
if it
cares?
Doesn't, we're making it.
We'll make it.
No one has ever said Swisherman before this.
Eric Gordon, Nick Swisherman.
Might be.
So Eric Gordon, Gordon Swisherman.
Gordon Swisherman.
Trying to get all this
my
right.
New one. Then I have. I thought I saw PJ Tucker looking a little chunky. So
PB and J Tucker.
PB and J Tucker.
Oh yeah, John saw that was going.
He looks great though.
Yeah,
he looks. He looks incredible.
That team's great. I think even with Paul out for a few weeks, it'll be fine. They'll manage to probably peel off 80% win.
If you weren't going to go with Eric Gordon Swisherman, I was going to go with Eric. My urine is full of PEDs.
Yeah, he's
Gordon. He's, that doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No.
I need to workshop that one.
Homeboy is dunking on people.
I know. He's looking good.
His opening night performance, I was like, whoa.
He took this Jordan
man has
Bell
gotten
to the rack.
All the Jaguar growth hormones.
Yeah.
He is spry. He is fast. Also, PJ Tucker was incredible, despite the girth.
Mm-hmm. It's just his face. He's
Eric
got a
Gordon
fat face.
Saw the new acquisitions coming to town and went and got some of that Bane venom, man.
Yeah.
He's got some serious. He's jacked up.
He's trying to be
James
back
Harden
to,
is jacked up too,
he
man.
Does look good. A bunch of players just look better this year physically. Everybody's on that whole 30.
Although
everybody's going to Germany and back.
Mm-hmm. Although, even though people are looking good, we obviously have had the huge injuries, like the devastating loss to the team we won't mention out of respect for their loss. But also, you're seeing all these guys just miss a couple games. I know we're like three or four games into the season, but it's like Dennis Smith looked good first game. Oh, he's a little sore. He's going to sit out the next two.
Right.
Miles Turner, incredible first game. Yeah, he's going to sit out a couple games.
Embiid.
Yeah, Embiid is already sitting. Kawhi hasn't even played.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they spaced the schedule out, and I know they told people not to rest. Like, you can't rest your guys, but kind of feels like we're not even to where the season normally tips off, like mm-hmm. in previous years, and already the players are getting rested.
Well, I think this is the move of the whole, Six Sigma management philosophy of making sure that the talent is taken care of. And they're doing that. I think all that preemptive kind of like rest and repair days are an important part to a long NBA season, especially when you have the playoffs in mind.
Yeah, I got another theory. I think, you see those guys on the end of the bench who never play? Those are the blood bags. Those are the blood boys for the Stars now.
Yeah.
They're just on there to keep cleaning, getting that clean blood. But I think LeBron and all his fellas go out whenever he wants.
I think the Grizzlies waived Wade Baldwin mainly because they caught him sneaking donuts. And they were like, you're a blood boy. You can't be eating donuts.
No.
For one reason, Wade.
It's like
and it's for your sweet, sweet young blood.
That episode of Silicon Valley.
Exactly.
No, but it's funny to see that, some of these teams are taking this big, long approach, and then some teams are just, playing LeBron James 40 minutes a game.
So Kyle Kuzma is still good.
Kuzma daddy.
His summer league per 36 stats were unbelievable. His preseason 36 stats were still unbelievable. Now that he's played three games, his per 36 stats are still unbelievable. He's still averaging, 20 points, 6 boards, 2 assists.
He's the anti-Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan mm-hmm. Mitchell, learning curve, slow. Not, not catching on, not hitting his shots. Although I'm not out on Donovan Mitchell. I still think he'll catch on, but hasn't found his stroke yet.
He's gonna get run now though. That there's an injury there. So,
in looking back at our over under projections from last week, which teams are you the most concerned that you were wrong about, and which teams are the ones you feel like the most good about your prediction?
Well, before I even get into that, I just said that there's an injury in Utah. Actually, it's just Rodney Hood pooping his pants before games. that can't be overlooked. That's got to be the best DNP I've seen in a long time. It's like gastrointestinal pain.
I feel like we had that before.
Yeah.
Wasn't there someone who ate?
It was Rodney Hood.
Oh, it was Rodney
last year.
Again, Rodney, who did it?
That dude's got Crohn's or.
He's got ulcerative colitis.
Well, I mean, IBS.
Nothing to make fun of.
No, man. IBS.
No, it's sad. He's Crohn's missing NBA horrifying. Games for pooping.
Yep. Well, which
team? Team that I feel. I mean, this really could last a very, very long time. I mean, Pistons clearly have the next All Star in Noob Saibot, Tobias Harris. Hey, Pistons look fun.
Shout out! I said he was going to average 20 points a game.
He's averaging the most points per game for any Pistons player in the first few games since the one, the only Jerry Stackhouse averaged 29 points a game.
Oh, shout out Stackhouse!
Praise be his name.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that we thought were going to have nothing seem to have something. I think we can't stop mentioning the Magic, but that's just very, very shocking.
Yeah. Magic were a team I thought was going to completely lose. I will say, however, I think I said there's a solid chance they would go like 20-20 and then the wheels would fall off. So I'm still holding on hope to that. But them beating the Cavs definitely is shocking. Vucevic doing his early season flame-throwing routine, which he's done before. But him hitting threes, him hitting threes above the break, it's pretty good.
Hey, how about this? I thought Denver's like the silver, like what's the opposite of a silver lining? Like their Achilles heel was going to be defense. Looked pretty awesome defensively thus far.
Well, they needed to. Do we make anything of Jokic not shooting at all, not scoring? He's got like 5 points on the
happening.
Year.
He's still contributing in other ways. I think he just got he missed like 10 shots in a row, so like that kind of gets in your head a little bit. But he's still contributing other ways, and it looks like the guys they brought in like are really going to help them defensively. And hey, that was the hole, right? They can play offense. They play fast and at altitude. If they can play any defense, they'll be good. I mean, I guess we'll go ahead and get into it. I did not think the Grizzlies would look even close to this good.
Oh my God, that game against the Warriors, Marc Gasol, even close. Back.
I mean, I thought they're right now playing out what I spelled out as the optimistic take. No, I didn't think they'd whip the Warriors. I don't think they're going to win 50 games still, but like obviously very, very encouraging early returns. They have a second unit for the first time in like 3 years.
Young kids too.
Where when the guys come in, you're like, oh, this is
Dilly
cool.
Dilly Brooks.
And they did this all without Jermichael Green, who we thought Jermichael Green
was a key for that
team. Was definitely a key cog. I mean, it's incredible the back from the dead redemption story of Andrew Harrison and Jarrell Martin, who are starting.
Jarrell seems fine.
If you polled us and any other Grizzly writer, Grizzly blog about which guys were going to get cut from like Grizzly's training camp, everyone thought it was going to be Jarrell Martin and Andrew Harrison. We thought that was the most obvious choice of guys to cut. And lucky for us, they didn't. And then now these guys are starting. And again, after two games before we release this episode, they'll play at the Rockets. We're assuming that's a loss. You know, if it's not, all right, let's get excited. But things looking real good. I feel good.
It's funny how the narrative can change so quickly, because I watched the Grizz roll over the Pelicans, and all I can think about is, dear God, the Pelicans are bad.
Three
games in, now I think the Pelicans might be kind of okay, and the Grizzlies look good. So, I mean, it's just funny how, like, and I'm sure, you know, weeks from now, everything will have evolved so much in our minds, but it's just amazing the swings you make early in the season, because you're desperate to draw something.
We don't know anything
yet. Yeah. I will say one under pick I made that I don't feel good about is the Milwaukee Bucks, because maybe Giannis is something different.
Neo from the Matrix.
The next evolutionary step.
Yeah.
His average of -58 points in our fantasy. Okay. Negative fantasy.
I shop. Yeah. But having him on your team will ruin your
his 40 like 44 points game winning blocks, him just skating in from half court
for
dunks.
That last sequence is terrifying.
He's made 7 shots from outside 8 feet.
I don't really even love like their roster, but everything they do is great.
No, they're being crazy. I mean, they just picked up DeAndre Liggins and gave him big minutes. What are they doing?
They do get credit for having these interpositional, tall, lengthy guys who can just be out there to spread the court and play defense, which is good. But still, it's all Antetokounmpo, and it is glorious.
Imagine when he can develop a 3-point shot.
If he had a good, if he had like somebody else, I'm a little worried about my boy, future Grizzly Chris Middleton.
Yeah, he seems really bad.
He still seems, I mean, not terrible, but he doesn't seem as elite as he did pre-hamstring tear last year. I kind of hoped he would bounce back, but he still more resembles sluggish Chris Middleton from the end of last year than the pre-injury look. Well, let's move to the award segment of the program. My baby's back. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is given to the worst performance in a box score. We had many, many submissions. The first week of the season, not even a full week, mind you, provided many familiar names. Like, I recently went to my 20-year high school reunion. It's kind of fun. This is a little bit of that. I'm looking at these names. Oh, good to see you again.
We're really going
to
do this?
What?
You're not just going to give it to him?
Oh,
no. Well, we all know who won. I mean, if you watch the International Stackhouse, but
we've been keeping track.
But we have to go
more than most.
We have to go through the ceremony at least, John.
It is a ceremony.
I've been waiting months for the ceremony.
I guess you're right.
So here's the
Ordinary People did win Best Oscar that one year against Raging Bull. So let's hear it.
Let's hear. These are the honorable mentions, and again, a very familiar bunch of faces. Buddy Hield, 1 for 10. Marco Bellinelli, 1 for 10. Jamal Murray, 1 for 9. Malik Monk, welcome to the party, 1 for 9. Frank the Foreman Kaminsky, 1 for 9. Mario Chalmers, another redemption story, 1 for 9. Brandon Ingram, going to be here a lot, 3 for 15. And Dennis Schroeder, 5 for 22. Our 3 nominees presented chronologically as they occurred during the week. Stanley Johnson, opening night in a win against the Hornets, an NBA record for opening nights, 0 for 13.
Yowza.
0 for 6 from downtown. 2 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 4 steals, which is awesome. No turnovers, 2 personal fouls. I did have lots of Pistons fans tweeting at me, hey, the box score doesn't tell the whole story. Fine. This award
That's
is
not
just
what we're playing here.
The box score. 0 for 13. One of the worst 0 for performances in league history.
Mm-hmm.
Our next nominee, Austin Rivers. In a win versus the Lakers, he was 1 for 11. 2 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover, 2 personal fouls. And then, familiar friend, Terrence Ross. In a win against the Cavaliers, he was 1 for 11. 3 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 turnover. So we have Stanley Johnson, 0 for 13. Austin Rivers, 1 for 11. Terrence Ross, 1 for 11. Stanley Johnson, come on down.
Oh, you're the next winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Stanley Steamer.
Yeah, he took a steamer.
That's a unanimous selection for Stanley Johnson. Congratulations,
hey,
bud.
Every time he sucks, I'm glad the Heat didn't get him instead of Justice Winslow. And then every time Justice Winslow sucks, I'm mad we didn't get Stanley Johnson.
I got to say, Stanley Johnson's opening night was a very... It was the best moment in Jacques Watch history in the last 2 years. I think 2 years we got up to an 0 for 18.
Yeah.
Very exciting. The Jacques Watch is trying to get to Jacques Vaughn's record, 0 for 22 start to a season. Right now, the Jacques Watch meter is at very cold.
Mm-hmm.
We only have Pat Patterson, the aforementioned, who does not look okay. He's 0 for 6. And Tyler Ulis, also 0 for 6.
Who's probably about to be the starting guard out there.
Honestly, watch these Suns games. He could get some shot attempts going up, but nothing in his first year showed me that he has it in him to put up an 0 for 22. All right, so before our Grizz epilogue, par fadeaway, what else are we looking forward to in the coming week?
I'm looking forward to seeing if the Raptors are as awesome as they seem. Can they keep this up? because they seem pretty much unstoppable right now. I really like who they've added. One thing that's really kind of become clear to me anyways is that this is DeRozan's team, and Lowry can kind of take a step back, which is good because he's great with the bench unit anyways. So, I mean, are the Raptors this good? Because if so, I think I'm feeling good about, you know, they might be the team that challenges the Cavs instead of the Celtics, which we're losing Hayward, kind of a lot of the luster had been off of that stone.
I mean, you got OG Anunoby
with the shorts.
Another rookie steal. I could not believe his pants.
Wow.
Vacuum sealed into his butt crack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CJ Miles.
You could see so many things. Also, he has full leggings that don't meet the socks.
Love it.
Wow. I don't think David Stern would allow this.
Good.
This is like the sequel to Coming to America we've all been wanting.
But anyway, yeah, he's another rookie who looks awesome. Everyone is kicking themselves who picked in the teens in the draft, because this is the guy everyone's like, he's good, but he's hurt. And now he's like,
no one knew what that injury was, and now it turns out it was nothing.
And it is weird. You said that it looks like it's DeRozan's team. Lowry, after a couple games, has taken a back seat. Valanciunas looks great, but he's banged up. He's going to miss the game on Monday night, I believe. So, yeah, that's a great thing to look forward to. I think I'm most focused on, can the Jazz do it all year long with the defense? Like, after three games, it's like, oh, this is what I hoped might happen. Like, they're winning games, they're in games, they look really good. Like, can that work for a whole season of not having offense and grinding teams again into a pace?
Joablo Inglés had a great game. I do feel like they need another scorer. But
Eric Bledsoe.
I know, ooh, right?
Come I don't on. Know if he's a great fit there, but
maybe. He's really not, actually. Because, I mean, right now they have one of the best assist rates in the league, which I know three games, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think Eric Bledsoe coming in will help that at all. Because he wants the ball in his hands.
Well, mine is continue to watch James Johnson dunk on people. He smashed Victor Oladipo's soul.
That's glorious.
It was a great dunk.
He also smashed Kelly Olynyk to the bench forever, I think.
Olynyk's playing that weird stretch five kind of role for him. He played more minutes.
They got to start Johnson.
He looks so good.
He's so good. Why didn't teams play him, Grizzlies and Raptors?
I know.
You're so stupid.
He looks so great. But yeah, it'll see. I'm looking at my team because that's how I look through the league. It's through the lens of being a Miami Heat homer. So this year, you know, watching my boys with Hassan going with that grown man double-double and still losing does not make me happy, because I'm hoping it's not some sort of Ewing theory thing where he goes out and they're better, because he went out and then they ended up beating Indiana by a bit. So I don't know.
I like where your head's at, though. I'd like to hear about this urine theory.
The urine theory. Patrick Urine. You know the guy. He used to play for the New York Knicks.
We're gonna figure something out with urine theory. I'll be back with urine theory.
We'll have a whole nother segment.
That's pretty good. It might go to Eric Gordon's drug test. But that is pretty good.
That should be it. Who do we think is on PEDs this week? It's the urine theory.
The asparagus omelet sticky urine theory.
All right. Well, thanks you guys to listening. If you want to stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue, please do that. Thanks to Fantrax Fantasy Sports. If you want to go and support the show, you do that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, Grizzlies epilogue. Insert sponsor here. Got to get one. Who needs a Grizzlies epilogue in their lives?
Q babies.
I still haven't been.
It's so good.
Oh. I have actually a lunch break kind of close to Q babies. I think I can pull it off. Well, what's an in and out time? There's a quick in and out.
It's not bad.
Oh my god!
It's so fast. They have so many people working there. I was sitting there talking to John.
It is such a retro weird experience that I think they put a terrible speaker on the drive through thing. On purpose.
For the aesthetic.
That is so hipster. I love it. I'm surprised you like it, John. I feel like you would actually recoil at that.
Oh,
it's being so obvious.
For me.
Okay.
It was torture. I was just sitting there going, what? I have to come to the menu.
We're needing number four with trees, three number twos, four number sevens.
All right. We kind of touched on a good bit of this. Obviously, the Grizzlies looking really good in their first two games. Doing it, the Warriors game incredible, doing it without Mike Conley looking very good. Although, hello, my captain, taking Draymond off the dribble twice in a row down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Just going straight up mano a mano and beating him like, you know, you're playing your younger brother in the backyard.
Mike and Mark spent all offseason playing NBA Street because they are just breaking dudes off with moves.
Oh, and also the
Klay Thompson.
The Klay Thompson move. That might have been my most retweeted tweet. I don't even know why it was. I mean, it was cool,
but it wasn't the coolest.
It wasn't that cool.
Seeing a dude 7'2" do that, and not like Giannis Antetokounmpo, lithe, agile, sinewy, 7'2". Burger King, Big Burrito, Marc Gasol.
Paella eating ass.
It looked like a... It's like when Stan Van Gundy was doing crossovers. You're just like, what is that?
So, John, what do you think, not getting too carried away after two games and knowing they're probably going to get their tails handed to them in Houston, how are you tempering... you're all on board. How are you tempering your expectations, or are you tempering your expectations?
I'm not tempering them.
So I'm
not tempering them. I've got another million-dollar T-shirt idea. Dilly Dilly Brooks shirts.
Dilly Dilly.
Stupid Budweiser commercial. People love that thing. I was at a wedding this weekend. Everyone was saying Dilly Dilly. Got to make Dylan Brooks shirts. Dilly Dilly shirts. Coming back from this trip. We're going to be rich. Between this and Beavis and Butthead, it's T-shirt time in Tennessee.
I love it.
I thought the Grizzlies were going to suck. I am amped up. I'm thrilled to be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, so far Chalmers isn't even shooting well, but just having the ball handling. Chalmers ball handling, the Tyreek Evans, who I besmirched on a couple shows, he's looked good so far. His 38% 3-point shooting from last year, again, through two games, he's hitting him. He's like, right. his form release looks good. But also, your boy
Dilly Dilly Brooks, second minutes played on the team, first in my heart. We're doing all this with Jermichael Green out. Maybe Jermichael Green, you're in theory. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because having Jarrell Martin and James Ennis
looks
being
fine.
Able to fill the court, fill the wings, get up and down the court, it's looked so good. I don't know, though.
We don't even have any Wayne Selden stories yet.
I mean, but I'm with you. What you said earlier, I thought against the Pelicans, they looked awful. I was like, wow, we are terrible. And the Grizzlies beat the Pelicans because Dylan Brooks was beating Jordan Crawford, no longer on the Pelicans, and Darius Miller off the dribble relentlessly. The Grizzlies scored all their buckets against whoever was playing forward. And so, huge Tony Allen homer. I watched the Pelicans games being like, you guys are losing because you're not playing Tony Allen.
That's
like,
all you got to do.
Because Dylan Brooks is beating whoever, Jordan Crawford off the dribble for layups.
It seems to me, small sample size be damned. The Grizzlies are going to really struggle against teams with good front courts and just eat teams with bad front courts alive.
Which is really surprising. I mean, that's like the reverse thing. I mean,
Has the space now to do. Mark is basically doing pump and goes from the 3-point line on other giant mutants. They're going to have to put smaller guys on him.
Rebound.
He eats Zaza's up.
Yeah, it's glorious. Rebounding is still a problem, and it's still going to be a problem. They're going to get whipped on the boards by people. Chandler Parsons can't get rebounds. Although, hey, shout out Chandler Parsons. He has looked competent on defense. Like, he's played really good positional defense. He had some deflections against Anthony Davis. He looked good.
He's kind of a good team defender.
Yeah. Like, he really was in the right spots. You know, he obviously missed those free throws against the Pelicans, got booed at home, but he hit a couple threes against the Warriors. He hit that one.
Hit a hilarious three against the Warriors.
Yeah. So he's fit again, like ninth man, Chandler Parsons. Okay. I can get behind it. So it's almost like a page out of the Miami Heat book, Chuck, which I just said Miami Heat to wake Chuck up.
Yeah. I was texting,
but it is them using the entire roster.
Well, and part of it too is Miami's philosophy is, hey, let's bring this damaged guy in with kind of a decent NBA skill set, and we develop them and get them to buy into the system. And that's why
you sure their philosophy isn't to tamper with everyone and bring in the three best players. I'm not so sure yet.
Oh no, that's not what we've been doing recently. That's what we've been doing recently is taking guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters, who the rest of the league thought weren't worth anything.
Yep. You didn't even say Hassan Whiteside. Listen to you.
I mean, that's obviously.
In closing, I will be back next week with a T-shirt that somehow incorporates Dylan Brooks, Budweiser, a crown, and my erect nipples. That's it. That's all I got to say. I have to leave now.
That sounds perfect. Thanks, you guys, for checking out the Grizz epilogue. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fair break, man. You understand?